Welcome, everyone. My name's James. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from insecurities, fear of man, pornography, and body image. Hey, everyone. Let's just pray, and then we'll jump right into God's Word. So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. Thank you, God, that you've rescued us, and Lord, through your Word, that you have laid out a way that we can be free, not only through the cross, but through confession, not only to you, but to other believers. I just pray, Lord, that hearts would be opened, and ears would be open, Lord, and God, that you would be glorified and that they would see you and see the power of the cross in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, so when you hear the word blackmail, I want you to take a few seconds and just think about that word, blackmail or being blackmailed. Now, how many of you in this room have ever been blackmailed in your life? Whether it's when you're growing up as a sibling or a serious blackmail, not those fraud emails I'm talking about, but seriously been blackmailed, anybody? Man, that's surprising. Well, I'm gonna tell you about a time where I was being blackmailed. You see, I wanted to come forward. I wanted to confess. I wanted to share the truth. But I was told that if I went forward and shared this truth, that my life would be ruined, that it would be destroyed. He told me, the blackmailer told me that my life would be turned upside down, that he would make a fool out of me, and that he would tell everybody about me. I would hear his voice, his whispers. He would slander me. He would abuse me. He would steal my joy. I felt like my life was out of control and that he controlled my life. You see, he is the ultimate blackmailer in my life, and his primary goal is to make my life miserable. And I could say with confidence that he is the blackmailer in your life too, and you may not even know it. As a matter of fact, I bet that some of you sitting here right now, as you came in this room, are being blackmailed by him. He's telling you that there's something in your past that's too atrocious to share or to come forward. He's telling you that people knew what you did. Maybe in your past, maybe a month ago, maybe last week, maybe yesterday, maybe when you woke up this morning, maybe even before you came and you sat down in this very room. He's telling you that you can't be forgiven. The blackmailer I just told you about, he is very real. And he has many names. Listen closely and see if you recognize some of these names. Enemy, deceiver, principality and powers, prince of the power of the air, Lucifer, devil, Satan. And now you can add to that list a description of what he does. He's the blackmailer. He blackmails us, and he's the ultimate blackmailer. So now I know if I were to ask again who's ever been blackmailed, I would hope that every hand in this room would go up. So before we continue, let me read you the definition of being blackmailed or the person doing the blackmailing. It's the act of using previously attained or recently attained information to make the individual do what you want or else you reveal this information that would affect them. And that's exactly what the ultimate blackmailer is doing. He's taking previously attained information or even current information, and he's holding it over you. The last thing he wants you to do is to step into the light of Christ. The last thing he wants you to do is to step from darkness into light. You want to confess your hidden sin, but you won't. But the longer you conceal it, the longer he has a death grip on you, a spiritual death grip that you may not even realize. The longer you conceal it, the longer it tightens, and he squeezes hard. You hear his voice, his whispers. Hey, if you don't tell anyone, I'm not gonna tell anyone either. All the while you don't even realize, God knows your sin. God knows what you've done, but you fail to deal with it biblically. The blackmailer is holding you back from freedom, from healing, and that's his goal. So when we are being blackmailed, our condition and our nature is that we want to remain silent. We don't want to share with anyone. But confession is the only option for freedom and healing. It's your only option. So, as the ultimate blackmailer, he robs you of your joy, of your confidence in Christ. He distracts you with whispers, with slandering remarks. He tells you, this is between you and him. Don't even worry about it. But he's going to wreck your life. That's his goal. He attempts to keep you in darkness. As the blackmailer, his goal is to weaken your fellowship, not only with Christ, but with other believers. He becomes a roadblock to freedom, to healing. So we're going to look at 1 John 1:9, which is step 5, a foundation verse. So if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, go ahead and open to the 1 John for me. So we're going to go through 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through verse 9, but I'm just going to give you some context for verses 7 and 8. So John is telling us in verse 7, as we walk in the light, we reflect the character of God, both in truth and in holiness. When we walk in the light, our lives are known. There's authenticity, and that's really what we preach at this ministry, authenticity. There's no hidden sin in the light, which results in a deep and divine fellowship, not only with Christ, but with other believers, which then flows into progressive cleansing from sin. In verse 8, John is telling us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And what he is saying is that every day I need to wake up and understand that I'm a sinner and that I need to be in continual obedience with Christ, continually in confession, continually walking in the light to have freedom. But then John gives us, to me, after going through this, studying it, a beautiful verse that has three promises. He encourages us with God's character in this verse. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that we can be confident in confession because God is faithful. We are forgiven and we have been cleansed. With confession, you are liberated from the blackmailer because of these promises. These three promises should drive you, should propel you into confession that God is faithful, you are forgiven and cleansed. And those are going to be our three points. So in your Bibles or even on your phone, I think it'd be great if you underlined faithful, forgiven, and cleansed. So that takes me to my first point, faithful. Faithful. God is reliable. He's to be trusted. He is steadfast in affection. His allegiance is to his name and for his name's sake. And through Christ, we are bound and assured of these promises. But the blackmailer seeks to disrupt this, to disrupt this truth. He tells you, you have failed. You can't be forgiven. You can't be healed. How could you? You call yourself a Christian. But if you don't tell anyone, I'm not going to tell anyone either. It'll be between me and you. The blackmailer whispers to you in your ear, maybe even whispering to you right now as you sit in this seat, you came in here tonight, that God is not faithful, that he will break his promises, that he will cast you away out of his presence, that God's love is conditional, and that you are not lovable. He has been doing this from the beginning, ever since he deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. He twisted God's word. He twisted God's promises. And in that, he deceives us and he makes us believe that God is changing, that his character is changing, and that we can't run to him for refuge, that we can't run to him for security, and that we can't find that saving grace that is found in Christ. You see, the Proverbs say, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous man who runs to it is safe. You see, through confession, we run from the prison of darkness, of chains, that is the blackmailer, into the light of Christ, which is a strong tower. You see, a strong tower is set on a hill. A strong tower is fortified. A strong tower is a place of defense where it overlooks. And usually a strong tower was set on a place of green pastures. The blackmailer's goal is to keep us from seeing the faithfulness of God. He tells us that God can't be trusted, that he changes, and that he changes our standing because of our sin. As the blackmailer manipulates you, he manipulates you to manage your sin. He knows that if we confess, that God's faithfulness will flood into our hearts, and we will see truly how faithful God is. But our relationship with Christ can't change. Our standing, you are a son. You are a daughter of the King of the Most High God. You are an heir to the promises. This is a faithful promise. It's steadfast. Galatians 2:26 says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith." But Satan wants to diminish this faithfulness. He wants you to look at the promises of God. He wants you to look at the faithfulness of God. He wants you to see stains. He wants you to see holes, gaps. God's ultimate display of faithfulness has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, which was the promised one to come. And this ultimate display of faithfulness was on the cross, which we just celebrated yesterday. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:14 says, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Whatever brought you here, whatever you may be concealing, it's been nailed to the cross. It's been set aside on Jesus. And in confession, the eyes of our hearts are opened, and we see, "Great is your faithfulness, O God." So that's my first point, faithfulness. My second point is forgiven, that he is just to forgive us our sins. You are forgiven, and this faithfulness is a constant flow of grace that restores us into the fellowship of Christ and other believers. But the blackmailer says, there's no way you can be forgiven. Hey, remember what you did? Remember what you did to that person? Yeah, I saw you. I was there. I got all the dirt on you, and no one will see. He devises a way that you will manage your sin. He devises a plan that you would go your own way. He's telling you everyone in church will know. And I know when I first came to Regen, that was one of the very thoughts I had. That if I confessed these hidden sins that I was hiding, that everyone was gonna know, that my reputation would be ruined, that people would look at me differently, that they would judge me. And some of you may be thinking that right now. He wants to keep you enslaved, trapped. He wants you to believe that God won't forgive you. That's what he whispers to you. But we gotta put on the armor of God. We're soldiers. Put on the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, the shield, and the sword, which is the word of God. But Jesus states in John 8:44, "He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." We truly believe that God's grace isn't enough when we're fear to come forward in confession. We believe that maybe God will forgive some sins, but not, oh, the sin that I just committed, or the sin that I'm stuck in, or the sin that I did 10 years ago. But Paul writes, "Having forgiven us all trespasses," he's forgiven you of everything. Christ took everything and put it on the cross. Your past, your present, your future sins are forgiven. Jesus himself purged our sins in his own body, having sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. It's a finished work. You are forgiven. Confess, step into the light. You no longer owe a debt. Christ paid that. And that brings me to my last point, my third point, that you have been cleansed. You are cleansed from all unrighteousness, which is the removal of filth. You are no longer stained. The sin that defiled you has been removed. You are pure because of Christ. John even tells us, through faith in Christ, just as he is pure, you will be pure. But the accuser, he's whispering and he's calmly telling you, you're dirty, you can't be clean. Keep it between me and you, he says. And in concealing this sin, you feel filthy, you feel guilty, you feel stained. When you wake up, when you brush your teeth, when you try to do your quiet time, when you drive to work, when you're with your loved ones, when you're with your family, when you're in community, that's exactly what the blackmailer wants. We will go to extreme measures to cover our sin, just as David did when he had Uriah killed, when he slept with Bathsheba. You see, David was a man after God's own heart. This was the king that God made the Davidic covenant with. He told David that through him, his throne, his house, his kingdom would reign forever, an everlasting kingdom. But David was a murderer. He took another man's wife. He concealed his sin. But yet, God preserved for us two powerful psalms, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51. Each psalm is a display of how God pardons our sin in confession, displays his relentless pursuit of us when we cry out to him. And that's what God is doing. He's relentlessly pursuing you. And each one reminds us of the cleansing we receive in our confession before him. He calls out to you, remember what I've done for you. Remember, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Allow Christ to remind you of the removal of sin, that you are cleansed by coming forward into his light with confession. You see, there's no condemnation, and we are confident in our confession before Christ and others. James 5:16 says, if we confess our trespasses and pray to one another, we are healed. The healing is the breaking of the burden of those sins that we were concealing. We break the power of the blackmail because the truth is out in the presence of God, and we're able to pray together honestly, and we receive that forgiveness in our hearts. It flows into us through Christ. We are encouraged. We are loved by other believers and reminded of the exact promises of God. God is faithful. He forgives. He cleanses. Be free from the grips of blackmailing. So now how do we do that? How do we escape or come out of the blackmail of Satan? I'm gonna give you 3 points. We confess to God. First, we confess to God that we may receive that cleansing, a reminder of the removal of that filth, of that stain. We confess to our brothers and sisters that we may break that burden, that we may authentically come in the light. We bring our sin into the open. We allow the light of Christ to push back the blackmailer, to dispel him back. And lastly, here I think we do a great job of it when people share, when we say thanks for sharing. But after, let's follow up with those individuals. Remind them of how much God loves them, that God has forgiven them, that God is faithful, that they are cleansed. So in closing, remember when I told you I was being blackmailed? I did exactly what I just shared with you. I went forward. I confessed. I confessed to my regen group, to other believers, to my community, to my mentor. I confessed that I had a hardened heart in pornography and I was addicted. I confessed that I had insecurities, that I struggled with my physical appearance, that I struggled with sexual insecurities. But in stepping in the light of Christ, I found freedom. I received nothing but grace, mercy, kindness, compassion for my brothers. You see, Satan knows our freedom is not found in isolation, but at the foot of the cross of Calvary. So I urge you, step into the light. Confess whatever is being held against you, even tonight. And send the greatest blackmailer the world has ever seen back into the shadows. Please pray with me. Lord, God, we have freedom in confession. God, we are cleansed, we are healed through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, there's nothing that you can't forgive and that you won't forgive. God, I thank you that you have rescued us and you have saved us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.